Morning, everyone. Welcome. This meeting is called to order March 28, 2012 at 9:14. Before proceeding with any business, Mr. Smith, I believe you have a statement.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A public notice of this meeting containing all items on the proposed agenda has been filed in the office of the Secretary of State as required by Chapter 551 Government Code, referred to as the Open Meetings Act. I'd like for this fact to be noted in the official record of this meeting. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to begin this morning with outreach and education. Chairman Martin, would you call your committee to order, please?
Thank you. Is there a motion for approval of the last minute that's been placed in front of you from the last committee meeting?
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Hickson, second by Commissioner Scott. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Seeing none, motion carries. Committee item number one, the Zebra Mussels Public Awareness Campaign by staff member Darcy. Thank you, Darcy.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioner, and Mrs. Smith. Good morning. Good morning, Chairman. Hello. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning and provide a brief update on the Zebra Mussels Public Awareness Campaign. This is an effort that represents the cross-divisional teamwork of the Communications Division and the Inland Fisheries staff. We work very hard together to educate Texans on the aquatic invasives. Public awareness is a critical and necessary part of any strategy to stop or reduce the spread of invasive species. In 2010, the department launched its first awareness campaign to combat giant salvinia. This campaign targeted voters. And census was by far the most significant communications campaign we had ever launched here at Parks and Wildlife. We also undertook a pre and post survey to determine what the results of that campaign were. And we were very pleased to find that the results of 3,000 voters indicated that 96% of them said as a result of seeing the campaign, they were more likely to clean, drain, and dry their boats, which is exactly what we were hoping to achieve. So as based on this success, we turned our next focus to zebra mussels, which is what I'm here this morning to talk to you about. A bit of background on this nasty mollusk might be helpful. Zebra mussels came to North America from Russia, and they quickly spread from the Great Lakes through a large part of the United States. They're primarily in eastern and central U.S., but they also are as far south as Louisiana and as far west as some spots in California. In April 2009, the zebra mussel made its way to Texas. And it was confirmed, an adult zebra mussel was confirmed in Lake Texoma. Since then, we've also found zebra mussels in a stream that feeds Lake Levan. Experts, in fact, fear that it could spread through the Trinity and the Red River systems. A very sobering thought, especially when you consider the impacts of the zebra mussel, the economic impacts threatening our aquatic species and our entire ecosystem, damaging boat hulls, props, boat docks, water pipes, and fouling beaches with their shells, and the economic impact, hurting local tourism, damaging water pipes, and costing ultimately taxpayers millions of dollars to make infrastructure repairs. Our Zebra Mussels campaign that we launched last year built upon the success and the learning of the Giant Salvinia campaign that I mentioned earlier. We use the same hello, goodbye campaign tagline, but this time, hello, zebra mussels, goodbye, Texas lakes.
And we again targeted voters, but in this case, we targeted them in North Texas. And the focus was on Lake Texoma, where, of course, zebra mussels have been confirmed. And our goal, again, was to create awareness of zebra mussels, their impact, their negative impact, and the call to action was to ask voters to clean, drain, and dry their boats. In May of 2011, we quickly organized a meeting of water municipalities and Corps of Engineers and others and hosted a meeting so we could update them on the situation related to zebra mussels. We took them through the results of our Giant Slovenia campaign, and we talked with them about our plan and our desire to launch and mount an effort to combat zebra mussels. We asked them for their financial support. We wanted to match some federal aid dollars that we had, and they responded very positively, and they quickly stepped up. And these partners that you see here provided funding to make this campaign possible. And major funding came from the first four partners that you see listed there: North Texas Municipal Water District, the Tarrant Regional Water District, Trinity River Authority, and the City of Dallas Water Utilities Department. And we moved at breakneck speeds to sign these memorandums of understanding, to get the funding in, and to get this campaign launched quickly. We wanted to launch it no later than the July 4th weekend, and we managed to do that. On July 1st, right before the very busy July 4th weekend, we had our media launch event. And as this clever press release shows, we tied into the holiday with Texans Must Declare Independence from Zebra Mussels. And we held, along with our inland fisheries staff that actually brought a boat to demonstrate how to properly clean the boat and to inspect for zebra mussels, we held a media event at Lake Ray Hubbard, which was actually at a Bass Pro Shop at 30. And we had a terrific turnout, and we had coverage from TV channels 5 and 11, from the Dallas Morning News, Associated Press, and others. And we were able to get a lot of good coverage for this story right before boaters got on the lake for the July 4th weekend. So we're very pleased we're able to do that. All the press release, the media coverage, everything directed voters to this website that you may be familiar with. It's the same website that we partnered with the Lady Bird Wildflower Center to create for our first campaign for Giant Slovenia. But as you see here, the feature was updated to focus on zebra mussels. And we also produced radio PSAs that ran in about 50 stations within the North Texas region, and those also directed voters to this website for more information to learn more. Our campaign used a full suite of communication tactics. I'm going to quickly run through those just to give you a feel for the elements of the campaign. This event banner was used for the media launch as well as for other events and shows. We used email, as you see here. We sent this one to more than 86,000 voters, registered voters. And there's a video there, as you can see, that educates them about how to properly clean their boat. Oversized, colorful posters were sent to 220,000 registered voters, and we targeted those voters in the central and North Texas area. We developed print ads, a print ad that ran in the 2011 Outdoor Annual, the Texas Parks and Wildlife Magazine, and Texas Monthly. And as you see here, billboards. We had billboards that were placed on highways en route to Lake Texoma. We had plenty of pointed display materials that were very well received by boat dealers and marinas. We also used a kind of innovative attention-getting stencils, and these were placed on the boat ramps at Lake Texoma and on boardwalks. Pup toppers, which are what they sound like, as you can see here, we had those at gas stations, and those were, again, gas stations selected based on their vicinity to the lake. And we went a step further at six gas stations where we dominated every inch of floor, counter, and gas glass cooler space. So we wanted to be sure that no voter that was stopping to get a cold drink or ice or whatever could possibly miss seeing our message.
Did you put it in front of the beer?
You're going to be troubled today, aren't you? No comment.
And I don't think they're getting Gatorade.
And we're getting ice, though.
That's part of the learning for next year. We're going to check on the placement of the cooler.
Got to keep the beer cold.
That's right.
We also did online advertising. We ran Facebook ads, and here's some examples, creative examples of what we ran. We are also able to get learning here on which ones work very well. Just for example, we learned incorporating attention Texoma voters, really targeting that, helped with our click-through and our effectiveness. And just also briefly, I might mention that what we did with Facebook is we targeted voters who self-identified themselves in their profile. We're going to broaden that for next campaign because we couldn't spend enough money. There are not enough people necessarily identify themselves as voters, but that still vote or go on votes. But we still did very, very well with our Facebook campaign. We also bought keywords for Google AdWords. And we also did animated ad banners. This actually, the boat actually, you know, you saw that you would see the muscles growing on the boat. So it would catch your attention. And we saw excellent results. This banner ad ran on AccuWeather, which, again, we thought was a very appropriate online network, and we saw excellent results. We had a click-through rate on the web banner of 0.21%, and the national average is 0.05%. So we did very, very well. All together with the online advertising, we actually garnered 23.49 million impressions. And there it is on the screen. And 9,000 clicks. And then when we look at overall, the media for the campaign actually generated about 42 million impressions. That campaign ran through the end of September. In the meantime, we've continued to produce additional materials. I just want to quickly share these with you. These are wallet cards. We actually produced about 600,000 of them. We're going to have those for a couple years to distribute at law enforcement offices, boat dealers, etc. We also produced a brochure, which sample of here, which will also be similarly distributed. And we are very close to being able to deploy 37 custom buoys that will be in Lake Texoma. And we expect to have these in place by the end of April, thanks to the work of Brian Van Zee's staff in the field, who will be, after, I guess, gill netting, working on this as well. So everybody is putting in the extra hours to make sure that we get this up before this year's boating season. I also wanted to mention, and these are just hot off the press, and I can share these with you, but we also have produced buck slips, and these are going to be inserted in about 130,000 boat registration mailings. And I just have to say, while it's not okay for zebra mussels to hitch a ride, these are hitching a ride for free, and that's pretty good. So that works well for us. Didn't get one laugh. Okay. I tried on that one. Anyway. We are fast approaching this year's campaign, and we'll be ready to launch, as you see there, in May. And we're going to spend about $200,000 on this effort. And once again, our partners have stepped up and renewed their commitment to us. So it's a terrific working relationship all around. We are going to be applying our learning that we got from this past year to the new campaign, but basically the same strategies as you see here, the billboards, the banner ads, and the website. We're going to be doing radio news segments, and then we're also going to be doing lots of signage and displays in and around Lake Texoma. So we're looking forward to another successful communications campaign to combat zebra mussels, and that concludes my presentation. I'd be more than happy to welcome. I welcome any comments or any questions.
Any questions?
I have a question. Is there anything that can? I understand the campaign is to prevent the spread from Lake Texoma. Is there anything that can be done to minimize the population? Or once they get in, they're pretty much there. And
okay, that's definitely a biologist question. I know when I'm not suited to answer. So let me.
That doesn't stop the rest of us, Darcy, but thank you for setting that bar high.
I can't say my answer's going to be any better. Good morning. My name is Gary Saul. I'm the Director of Inland Fisheries. And at this point, since it has come to the United States, there has been no successful method of slowing its population growth. We truly believe that zebra mussels would not come this far south. It's a northern species, very successful in the Great Lakes. But as boats have been moved and carrying zebra mussels with them, they're very, very adaptable. And we have seen them change their spawning modes. They will spawn at any time above about 50 degrees. And in Texas, in most of our waters, they're going to be above 50 degrees. So for us right now, it's a containment issue, doing our best to try to contain it.
And so given that, I mean, this kind of policy will have to be in effect for the foreseeable future.
Yes, this is the advertising campaign, and what you'll hear a little bit later on when we get to regulations is one of the ways that we're attempting to work with this as well.
A quick question.
Darcy, what was our budget, advertising budget last year? About the same, or is it?
It was about $275,000, I believe.
And how are we spreading it from giant salvinia to other invasives and zebra mussels? Is that?
That those dollars were just spent on the zebra mussel. We did have some remaining dollars, I believe, from coastal fisheries that we also spent on the giant salvinia just to produce some additional materials. But, again, it's just a matter of funding and needing to focus our efforts. I don't know, Mr. Smith, if you have anything else to add to that.
Or? Well, Darcy, I was going to just ask how much of that $275,000 came from our partners?
The vast majority of it came from our partners, yes.
And that is a point I want to make sure the Commission understands. The river authorities have been extraordinary partners in this regard. I think they've really taken it seriously. They see this as an opportunity to partner and to try to get ahead of it to the extent they can. And I really want to publicly acknowledge them for how seriously they've taken it and also how well they have coordinated by and large with the agency and our fishery staff and marketing team on this, and we're very grateful for that. Candidly, we just couldn't do it without them, so I want all of you to know that.
Another biology question. Do they have a predator?
Not native, or there's not a predator in the United States, and I'll look to Dave. Dave, do you know, is there a natural predator in the Caspian and Black Seas?
I'm Dave Terry. I'm the Chief of Fisheries Management and Research. And, yes, in their native habitats, of course, like they do have natural predators. But in Texas, we do have animals, blue catfish, for instance, that will consume zebra mussels. Unfortunately, they're never going to keep pace with the population growth.
Okay. Gary, since you're up here, how are we doing with giant salvinia? Obviously, there's been a great campaign to
raise
this awareness, but are we able to...
Winter before, we had a good hard winter, which knocked it back a lot. That helped us tremendously last year. This year, we've had quite a warm winter, and we're seeing growth now taking off again. So we are fully prepared to get out, and actually, we are currently doing some treatments in certain areas where we're finding it. But we are fully engaged to go out and treat our giant salvinia this year.
You're able to gauge the effectiveness of the campaign? I mean, you see the difference with the advertising and marketing efforts?
Yes. I mean, we had a tremendous amount of awareness that came forward out of that last year. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
You know, it might be worth just noting for the commission, this past session, our funding for aquatic invasive species was completely cut. And so that's made it very difficult on us then to go out and partner with river authorities and others and help bring some funds to help leverage. Right. And so Gary and his team have really been trying to turn over the rocks to find any funding to help address spot control issues and strategically try to get ahead of it. But that was hard on us, particularly after a mild winter, which we know we're going to have a strong response.
Great. Thank you.
You bet.
I was just going to add one thing as well on giant salvinia, which was that in February, excuse me. In February of 2012, we are also working. We met with the Cattle Lake Institute, and they did get some grant funding. And so Inland Fisheries and the Communications Division, we're working with them to help that they can use our campaign materials, that we can help assist them as much as possible. They're primarily focused on Caddo in Texas, Caddo Lake. So, but that is an effort that we are continuing to partner with them on so that we can continue to get that message out, at least in that area. Just wanted to mention that.
That's great work, Darcy, and I really like the creatives, too. I think it's
thank you.
Impactful, so.
Glad to hear that. Thank you, Chairman.
Any further questions? I also wanted to reiterate great marketing and utilizing all the different avenues and really going into the social media, which is so important. So great marketing. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Committee item number 2, Conservation Education Strategy. Ms. Nancy Herron.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Nancy Herron. I'm the Outreach and Education Director. I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to share with you this morning our department's conservation education strategy on recruitment and retention, on stewardship, and on our new key messages. I think there was nothing that could have preceded this. Nothing would have done more for me than to follow the previous presentation because I think it so aptly illustrates the complexity of conservation. It is always a resource issue and is always a people issue. And that's where conservation education comes in. Let me go through this first. To support conservation, people make daily decisions. They have input. They decide their behaviors. And we know based on sound science that there are 3 good avenues toward that conservation behavior. And one is participation in the outdoors, that they actually have fun, that it becomes a part of their lives, that they understand something about ecology and systems, and zebra mussels is a great example, and also that they have a sense of stewardship. And I'm going to clean that boat for a reason and for more than just my own time. In terms of recruitment and retention, we'll look at that part first. There's a model that we're going to take a little clockwise journey around that illustrates the key components to get somebody involved. It's very easy, relatively, to get somebody in the door. But as you know, garages and consignment shops are filled with equipment that gathers dust because someone tries something in a year or two and then off it goes. So how is it that people stay involved and engaged? Well, first they have this at the top, this positive initial experience. And so we spend some time having a good first impression because it's hard to beat that first impression. So those are outreach events, our Life's Better Outside, those events that are safe and fun and successful. And moving around that circle, we have access to equipment, also critical to somebody adopting a long-term activity. So we have tackle loaner programs, for example, or the co-op grants that helps groups buy their own equipment. Access to the resource is a big issue. And as you know, we concern ourselves with the distance that a park is from an urban area, that there's fish stocked in a neighborhood fishing pond in an urban area. Access to a mentor. We make sure that we have mentored youth hunts, for example. We invest in a robust volunteer network. Continuing around, it's very important that there's support from family and friends and community. So we place media stories. We have very strong partnerships with groups. We make sure that we have family-friendly events. All of these pieces together help ensure or at least increase the likelihood that someone's going to stick with that outdoor activity and engage and enjoy and have the outdoors part of their lives. Stewardship, into becoming a steward, follows a similar path. And starting at the base here, this foundation, we have those entry-level experiences that promote awareness and interest and appreciation. So again, we have outreach, special events, promotions, all those things that help create that wow experience. Next, classes, courses, exhibits, media pieces, those things that build knowledge and skills that say, you know, yeah, I know about that. I can do that. That's that sense of ownership that builds someone towards stewardship. Next is feeling like you can make a difference. And those are those experiences that we ensure that people have volunteer opportunities that let them practice those stewardship behaviors. And finally, when we get to that level of stewardship, we want to recognize and support those folks who are our Lone Star Land Stewards, who are our Master Naturalists, who are our Healthy Habitat Schools that are demonstrating those stewardship behaviors. We support them, we congratulate them, and we keep that circle going. Just as important are those outside influences demonstrated by these circles around this pyramid. Your peers. Is this something that I can enjoy with my friends? Social influences. Can I do this? Would my club, my organization, my church, my workplace support this activity? Cultural influences. Do you ever see this on TV, on Facebook, media, in the paper? Sesame Street, after 40 years, actually changed their set to include trees and greenery and shrubs and flowers, and Big Bird was trying to decide whether he needed to migrate or not. This is important to have it part of our dialogue in our daily lives. And finally, and very importantly, is family. Is this something that you can talk about at Thanksgiving dinner? Is it something that your family will enjoy with you, or do they roll their eyes? So all these pieces play a huge part, as well as that recruitment and retention model, and whether someone is engaged and involved over the long term. The glue that helps hold all these pieces together is speaking with one voice. This is something that our director knew from the very start. On about day three of his directorship here, he asked us, so what are our key messages? And, well, we all knew we had them. We didn't know if they were consistent across our department. So we let our big eyes close a little bit and got busy on looking at what key messages could possibly speak for a department as diverse as we are. We first turned our attention to the foundation of Fish and Wildlife Management, which is the North American model. It espouses some very fundamental understandings that wildlife belongs to the people. We manage it as a public trust. It's based on science, and it transcends the interests of the few. It is a democratic model. We then looked at the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies' work on conservation education, and it was based on the North American model. We concluded that people need to value the resources of public trust, appreciate that we must conserve and actively manage our resources. We can't just step away and say nature will take its course. That they would support and participate in nature-based recreation and stewardship. So this was a good foundation that we were involved in. As a matter of fact, these mirror a lot of how Texas feels. I had the privilege to chair this in its infancy, and we were able to bring a lot of Texas thinking there. The next, what we did is we had an internal group that looked in at our department. Every division had some messages that they were already trying to get out. Were there any common themes? And that took a lot of work to figure that out. We had a lot of things laid out on the table, and we looked for those themes, and we, by golly, we found them. We tried to make them as simple and fundamental as possible and came up with these take-home messages. Everything is connected, everyone plays a role, and life's better outside. Everything connected gets to that understanding of systems. If you fiddle with one part, it's connected to something else. That's okay, but you need to understand that that's how things work. And again, think back to the Zebra Mussels campaign or others, that understanding of systems is important. Everyone plays a role. Whatever we do will have an impact. We're not saying it's all good, it's all bad. We choose. We choose the role. And having that ecological understanding our impact, we can decide on the balance of need that is appropriate for ourselves and our communities. And finally, life's better outside. I know you've seen this before. Try as we might, we couldn't find better phrasing for that idea that it's fun to be outdoors. You know, by golly, it's even you'll be healthier and happier and smarter. It's where you want to be, and you don't want to miss it. So we ended up just continuing on with Life's Better Outside for that participation. So that's kind of the big picture of our conservation education strategy. We apply this with partners, with our own programs, and it might be that we take one role and then pass them off to another partner, but we are trying to apply those best practices that we know, that sound science that we apply to our resources management, we apply to our people management. We're including this now in new employee training, division meetings. We have an online toolkit, and we continue to look to the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies. They've got some wonderful tools. They also are promoting best practices. As a matter of fact, I'll be leading a webinar next month, a national webinar on best practices. So it's going to be it's a national effort that we'll be participating in. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions? That was terrific.
Okay.
Thank you. I mean, well,
thank you.
Put together where even I understand it. Thank you, Nancy.
You're
thank
welcome.
You for, you always do amazing work, and
thank
really
so
appreciate
much.
All you bring to the table.
And your support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And when,
committee item number 3, aquatic education, Ms. Karen Marks and Ms. Nancy Herron.
Morning, Commissioners. I am Nancy Herron. I'm the Outreach and Education Director, and I'm very pleased to have with me this morning Karen Marks, who's going to talk to you about our aquatic education program.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. Carter. As Nancy said, my name is Karen Marks. I'm the Aquatic Education Manager, and it's my pleasure to speak to you today about our aquatic education program. Our main goals are to inform and educate Texans about aquatic habitats, and also to increase participation in recreational fishing. We do that through 3 main areas of our program, which includes our angler education program, our aquatic resource education, and of course our partners. We have a vast network in our angler education program across the state. You can see here pretty much wherever there's water, we have a volunteer. We have 90 volunteer area chiefs that help staff recruit and train new instructors, and we have typically any given year we have 400 active instructors teaching fishing classes to youth and adults across the state. These volunteers last year helped conduct 515 classes and outreach events, reaching over 49,000 people, and they reported over 16,000 hours last year, which is a value of $260,000. We had 26 volunteers who reported more than 100 hours. One instructor who was brand new, he was very zealous. He reported 500 hours. He basically worked 10 hours a week, every week.
That's dedication.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
In addition to our fishing classes, we also have 3 main outreach initiatives, and that is our Go Fish, Learn to Fish events, our Take Me Fishing interpretive trailer, and also our Tackle Loaner program. Our Go Fish program started about 6 years ago. It's run by paid contractors, and at each event, we have learning stations where the families and the adults and the children go through the learning stations. They learn how to tie knots. They learn about safety. They learn about fish ID. They learn about fish habitat. Then they pick up a fishing rod and go practice their new skills down at the water's edge and hopefully catch a fish. At each event, we conduct surveys, and these surveys have shown us that about 65% of the youth have little to no experience fishing, and almost all the adults have learned something new at each of these events, and we have many people coming back repeatedly to these events to continue their learning. Our Take Me Fishing interpretive trailer is a 14-foot box trailer that's been retrofitted with exhibits on 3 sides, and we take this out to community events and school events to help recruit new anglers and to teach people about aquatic habitats. We use funding from the Toyota Texas Bass Classic to pay a contractor to take this trailer across the state. Last year, we had 14 events and reached over 10,000 youth and adults. In addition to providing equipment to our volunteers, we also want to provide equipment to the general public. And so we've set up tackle loaner sites across the state, mostly at state parks, but also some city and community parks. And we've had over 5,000 borrowers borrow the equipment last year. We provide the fishing rod and reel and the tackle. The participant provides their bait. And this man here in the picture, he caught this 9-pound bass at Copper Springs State Park using our equipment. So very proud of him.
So everyone that uses our equipment gets, you know, the big fish?
Oh, yes, definitely.
That's what's in the marketing degree.
Right, right. Our aquatic resource education program focuses on conservation messages for the general public. While our agency's mission includes saving water for wildlife, first we have to get the people to care. And like Nancy mentioned, everything's connected, and we're passing this message along to the general public. So first we teach them about their drinking water resource and where that comes from. Then we teach them about the local aquatic habitats and water issues in their area. And then we bring an awareness of simple actions that they can do either on a personal level or on a community level to protect their local waterways. An example of one of those simple actions is our State of the Water video screening program. We are taking our fabulous videos that have been produced over the years and encouraging organizations, state parks, master naturalist groups, Lions clubs, church groups, those kinds of folks, to host a movie night and get that discussion going in their community about their water. So to make it easy for them, we designed this nice little toolkit. It's available online. And it makes it real easy for anyone who's never done this. It has guidelines step by step what to do, flyers, press releases, and we also include pledge cards because we want those folks to take a simple personal action, maybe like turning off the water while they're brushing their teeth or planting native plants in their yard. So we provide that for them. Of course, we couldn't do any of this without our partners. We have many partners, including local, city, and county, and state governmental agencies. We have nonprofits and fishing clubs, the Junior Anglers and Hunters of America, Fishing's Future, our friends out in El Paso with the Ascarity Fishing Club, and many different fishing clubs across the state. We also partner with schools and universities and scout groups and camps. A lot of our fly fishing clubs are now partnering with retailers and hosting events in the retail stores. We provide teacher workshops, and as depicted here in the middle picture, we also provide curriculum training for future PE teachers to include angler education in their programs. Probably one of our most unique partners this year has been Keith Miller. You may have heard about him on the news recently. Last year, he pledged to catch a fish every day using only artificial lures. And he has 4 days left on this pledge. So let's listen now to a little bit of his story.
Anglers that come out for a fishing event, and today, there's a special guest. Keith Miller set out to catch a fish a day for an entire year starting this April.
I've got a lot of very enthusiastic faces, and looks like we're going to have some fun today.
And this fish is number two, a 4-pound bass that he caught at East Lake.
Wow, that's a four.
Only 363 to go.
When it hits the bottom, so I have to get up really early before work. I go fishing. And then when I get home from work, I usually go fishing. It requires a lot of fishing.
Not bad, yeah.
To get out fishing, and to really just experience outdoors and be good stewards for the future. Even if I wasn't doing the Fish a Day challenge, I would be going out every day. It's just how much I love fishing and being outdoors.
And she's not alone.
I love the fish. I don't know why, but I just love
the fish. But for his birthday, he asked for a fishing trip.
He loves water. He loves fishing. He loves outdoor life. I feel different in his grade, too. When he gets, you know, out here and gets to do the things that he would like to do with fishing, his grade is improving also.
And if the fish aren't biting,
we're trying to find some trouble.
Well, nature is full of fun things.
Feeling connected with nature and our environment is such a great feeling. And I think that kids that don't have that experience are really missing out.
So he continues to win over young fans one fish at a time, which sounds pretty good to all of us.
If I could, I'd take the fish and
Hey, keep track of him. He may be working with us
pretty soon.
Toyota champion.
As Keith mentioned, he does work full-time. He is married. He has a very supportive wife. He works for Baylor University. And whether he's at home or traveling on the road, through sickness and health, through rain, sleet, and drought, he has managed to catch a fish every single day.
I was going to ask, how is he doing with that goal? Yes.
So he has 4 days left, and Saturday will be the big finale fishing day in Waco. We're inviting the public to come down and fish with Keith, and that will be this Saturday, March 31st in Waco, and we invite you to join us for the fun. It should be quite fun.
Awesome.
So with that, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Terrific.
Thank you, Karen.
Does his wife fish with him, too?
I'm sorry?
Does his wife fish with him also?
Yes, she does.
Any further questions? This has been fun.
Great. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much. I really appreciate all of your hard work and your passion and integrity. And it's so important to get the right message out. I mean, you can't, if we don't get the right message out and reach everybody we need to, then our efforts are not nearly met. So really do appreciate all your efforts.
Thank you.
I want to bring up one other item here. A thank you to Lydia and your whole group and your team. As we see, and we've known that we've had problems with our, you know, funding of our magazine, it remains in the high integrity that it has always. And the magazine has remained beautiful and wonderful and great to read, and I look forward to it every month as well as so many others. And it's getting the right message out. It's continuing with the conversation we've had this morning, and I really want to thank you, because it is a continuation of our subject this morning, and it's getting a beautiful message out in a beautiful way. Photographers are great, the writers are great, and everybody has done an amazing job under circumstances that have not always been quite what we would like, but you would never know that. And so thank you. And so with that, Mr. Chairman,
thank you very much.
Our committee is concluded.
Appreciate it. Thank you.